Thank you, Paul. Thank you for... Ooh, an echo. Hello. That's gone. Thank you for that. Thank you for leading us in prayer and drawing our attention to many things to hope for, many things to pray for, both, you know, close and far. Ooh, we've got more echo. That's not my voice, eh? If I stand in a different location, is that better? What a morning. There's so much happening, isn't it? This place is alive. It's kind of hard to keep on top of all the things that are happening. We've got the young adults lunch today, and then Ruth called out her teacher voice to make sure we read that constitution. Did you see that? I mean, pretty stiff competition between Ross and Ruth there for motivating us. They've got skills. So only 1 week to go on that front. I was thinking about the young adult lunch. It's like when, you know, it's 18 to 30. Do you retire from being a young adult when you get to 31? Is that what happens? Like, how does it work? How do you navigate that transition out of young adulthood? And if you're 31, 32, can you still go? I'm interested. Yeah. But anyway, there's lots happening there, and it's exciting. So pre-war coming up with Green Bay, that's another thing. So I had the pleasure of walking around the school a few weeks back with Rosie, and I can absolutely affirm that you can't go more than a metre without being swamped by students who want to pat Rosie and have a chat. So it's pretty cool. So what an asset bringing the dog into the school. So we're going to continue our series today on knowing God. And someone was asking me before, how are you feeling? Are you feeling ready? Are you prepared? And the honest answer to that is I always feel a bit vulnerable and exposed, no matter what kind of preparation journey you've been on. There's something about kind of, you know, standing up and talking about the Lord and his word that keeps you, you know, exposed and vulnerable. And I think the Lord intends that. It keeps you in that place of dependence. You never really get up here feeling like you don't need him. You're like, oh, Lord, man, I need you. And so, yeah, that's how I'm feeling. I always feel a little bit vulnerable as we talk about the Lord and his word and our community together. So we're going to be talking more about knowing God, but knowing God more. And as Wayne was talking about next week, it's not knowing God more. Next week is knowing God in all seasons and all terrains, and is actually kind of going, actually, there are some hardships and challenges that we have to navigate in this world, and what does it mean to actually walk with the Lord through that? So that's next week. But today is about knowing God more. And I don't know, if you kind of think of our human relationships, you know, when you first get to know someone, that really is just the beginning, isn't it? Now, as you spend more time with them, as you actually start doing things together with them, you get to know them so much more through that process. And I've kind of experienced that in the last 8 weeks. Would you believe it's 8 weeks now of kind of hanging out with you all? Last 8 weeks, it's like getting to know so many people at TBC. And it's been an absolute blessing. But there's quite a big difference between when I've actually had just a single conversation with someone versus when I've had two or three conversations with someone, compared to actually when I've had to work on something with someone together. And that process of getting to know someone is very, very different. When you actually spend time with them, and not just once, but on repeat, then actually working and doing something together, you go deeper and get to know the person. You know, who is someone? You know, what do they like? How do they respond to situations? What excites them? You know, what's important to them? There's layers and depths that can go to. And it's the same with our relationship with God. As we spend time with him, talking with him, and actually doing things with him, we will get to know him more. There is more to know of who he is, of what he's prepared for us, of what he's asking of us. And it comes as we spend time with him and as we do things with him. Sometimes we actually view our relationship with the Lord through this kind of narrow lens of you know, salvation. I'm either saved or not saved, and that's true. We are saved or not saved. Sometimes, though, it can be a little bit like a get-out-of-jail-free card. Got it. You know, but when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved. And that's not the end, though. It's not just a tick box. It's the beginning of the most exciting relationship you will ever experience. It's the beginning of journeying with him through his kingdom. It's the beginning of sharing in his kingdom work. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the most exciting journey ever. It's a little bit like, you know, if a plane, you know, lands in a new country in the airport, that plane has now arrived in a new country. It's in a new destination. But you still have to get off the plane. You still have to go through customs. You need to get your bag, you need to go to the info desk, get your mat, you need to get out of that airport and start exploring the country that you just landed in. And so if you want to use it like a metaphor, you know, to know God is to come into faith of Jesus Christ, but to know God more is to get off that plane, go through that airport, get out of that airport, and start exploring that land and that country that he's made available to us. And so we're going to talk today about what does it mean to know God more, and to actually, I suppose, highlight the fact that there is more. There is more to know of God. There's more in your relationship with Jesus. And I suppose to reflect personally, what is the more that's in front of you? With the hope that we don't stay where we are today in our relationship with the Lord, that we actually take the next step, that we explore and we go deeper and further with the things he has prepared for us. So let's do this journey. We will spend time in the scriptures, but we'll spend some time asking lots of questions today, thinking about, well, where am I in this journey? So where are you in your spiritual relationship with Jesus? Have you had a personal experience of God's attributes? You know, he is omnipotent. It's a hard word to say, isn't it? He's all-powerful. Have you encountered his power? You know, he is omniscient. You know, he's all-knowing. Have you encountered that in your life? You know, there is Nathaniel. He got such a shock when Jesus knew that he was sitting underneath the tree, even though Jesus wasn't there. We have a God who is all-knowing. We have a God who is all-powerful. Have you encountered that in your personal walk? He is omnipresent. God is everywhere. Have you come to a realization and an understanding of God's presence everywhere? Have you encountered God's characteristics, his immeasurable love, his patience and his kindness, his forgiveness, his mercy and his grace? I'm not talking about you know about it. Have you experienced watershed moments when you are forgiven and you are released from the burden of your own mistakes? Have you been moved to tears as the Lord ministers to you and brings freedom to the things in your life that you've been journeying through? Have you encountered God's plans and his kingdom work? Has he started to show you what he is building and doing in people's lives? Has he started to introduce you to how he goes about that? Has he actually indicated and showed you how he wants to use you in his work here on earth? Have you actually encountered his preparation and equipping? Now, has he started to teach you? Has he taken you through times of testing where he's shown you where there may be lack in your life and actually shown how he can strengthen you? Has he started to introduce you to his spiritual gifts, to his power? Has he shown you his ways? Have you had an encounter of being sent out and starting to be used by him where he is speaking through you, where he is directing the works of your hands and feet, where he's providing and orchestrating, leading, where he's introducing you to his strategies? Have you encountered these things? There is more. Do you want to know him more? Our relationship with him won't reach a dead end because there is more to our eternal God, and he wants us to discover more of it. Sometimes I find it helpful looking back at the journey with the Israelites. You know, when they got to the promised land and they're about to enter it, there's a couple of times in Deuteronomy and Exodus where the Lord says, look, I'm not going to give you all the land at the same time. Otherwise, wild animals will come in and take over. But I'll give it to you bit by bit. And so there's kind of this blueprint that is outlined where the Lord will give you some of what he has prepared, his blessings and an understanding of who he is, and allow you to establish yourself in it, and then he'll move you into the more. Does that make sense? There's a strategy and there's a wisdom in that. He says, I'm not going to give it to you all at the same time. It will be overwhelming. There's this process of growing into this. There's this process of letting yourself be established, and then I'll move you into the next bit. So we're going to go looking at the scriptures around the more that is available, but we're going to start by what are the first steps? How do we get off the plane, go through customs, and get out of the airport and start exploring this kingdom that we've been taken to? So let's read Pentecost. You'll be familiar with Pentecost, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. After Pentecost, actually a lot of persecution broke out around the church, and it scattered the disciples all over the place. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but everyone else started to scatter. And there's a guy called Philip, and he actually ended up going to Samaria, and he started preaching the gospel as they went. It's an interesting example of how the persecution actually brought a fruitfulness and a harvest. The people were scattered. The gospel then went all over the place as a result. And we're going to read what happened after Philip shared the good news. But when they believed Philip, this is in Samaria, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So in this particular situation, the people of Samaria heard the good news about Jesus and they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He's the only way to the Father. They were baptized, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit immediately at that time. When the apostles came afterwards, they recognized this, laid hands and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. You could say that their plane had landed. They hadn't gone through customs and got the seal yet. Now, they'd put their faith in Jesus Christ, but they had not received the Holy Spirit yet. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? No, that he is the only way to the Father. Have you been baptized as a declaration of your faith? Have you received the Holy Spirit in your life? These three things are separate things. To believe that Jesus is the Lord, to be baptized as a declaration of our faith, to receive the Holy Spirit. These three things are separate, and often they happen at the same time. So we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're baptized and we receive the Holy Spirit. But in this particular situation, we see that it didn't all happen at the same time. So what is the more that each person needs? Maybe you haven't even jumped on the plane. You haven't even turned to Jesus Christ and arrived in this new land. Do you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ? Why would you not? He loves you. He sets you free from the sin in your life. He brings rest and peace and joy. He will lead you through this world. It will be the best thing that you've ever done. You'll be in relationship with the creator of the earth. Why would you not do that? But for some of us, preacher brother. I don't know if I've ever had a preacher brother. That is awesome. Man, I'm super encouraged. I appreciate the encouragement. But where are you at? Maybe that is the first step. The more is actually acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord and actually turning to him and putting faith in him. But then have you actually been baptized? You know, when Jesus walked around, there's actually very few rituals and symbols that he asks us to hold on to. In fact, a lot of the time he's saying, stop doing all the traditions of man and rather focus on obeying God, eh? But baptism is one of the things that he says, actually that's part of the journey. Go into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is actually a ritual and a symbol that he calls us to actually participate in. You know, it symbolizes dying to the old life, coming up out of the water, being raised to a new life. There's obviously importance in it because Jesus has actually commanded us to do it. And so have you been baptized? If not, why not? Let's arrange to do that. Come and chat, and we'll start baptizing anyone who's not been baptized, who's put their faith in Jesus, because he commands us to do it. Let's do it as an act of obedience to him. It's a public demonstration of our faith. It actually is quite a helpful process to actually go through the symbolism of dying to the old life and being raised to the new. Is maybe that the more for you? And then we get to the other step there. Have you received the Holy Spirit? And in this situation, it didn't all happen at the same time. And in this particular situation, it came when the apostles came and laid hands and prayed for the filling of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't always happen that way. At Pentecost, and then a little bit later with the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit just came while they were talking and spending time together, everyone who was seeking him. There's not one method or mode that this occurs. There's also not one evidence of the Holy Spirit being in your life. So there are many fruits of the Spirit. There are many gifts of the Spirit. There's not one way of determining have you been filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's presence in someone's life is identifiable and recognizable. Amen? And that's why when the apostles showed up there, they were like, we need to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I suppose, is that the more? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? If not, let's pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have never received the Holy Spirit, let's pray. We'll lay hands and pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or find someone you know and pray together to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go there. Amen? But it doesn't kind of stop there. I suppose there's, just one more thought on that. Is, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes like a gentle rain, like a summer rain. You know, it's very different if you're born into a home of faith and you have grown up in a life of the Spirit. You know, and sometimes there's this gentle rain that is constantly nourishing your life, but sometimes it comes like a thunderstorm. Yeah? And so it's not helpful to say that it always looks like this or this. There is a continuum. The scriptures witness to a continuum. Our experience witness to different experiences of how being filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. But it does remain that you are either filled or not filled. Do you need to be filled? Okay. There are more questions because we want to get to know him more, and we're not going to stop in the airport. We're going to get out of there and explore his kingdom together. Here's another question. Maybe you have put your faith in Jesus. You have been baptized as an act of obedience. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. But do you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit more? You may have thought it's a once-off event, but it's not. Let's read. Okay, we've talked about Pentecost. We're going to read what happened on Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, so we know about that, but have you noticed 2 chapters later? So we have in between Pentecost and two chapters later, so Peter and John went out and they're praying for someone who was lame and he was healed, and they started talking about Jesus and preaching in the name of Jesus. And the religious leaders got all upset with them and dragged them before the Sanhedrin, which is kind of like a council, and started interrogating. Everyone know what I'm talking about? Someone got a glimpse? Hands up, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, cool. So they got pulled before the Sanhedrin and interrogated. Why are you doing preaching in the name of Jesus? Eventually, they were released from this interrogation, and then this is what happened. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, and I've just skipped the prayer there because we're not focusing on that right now. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. As they prayed to God and asked for help, they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Peter was there at Pentecost. He was filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Peter is there as they are praying together, and he was filled again with the Holy Spirit. The outcome of being filled with the Holy Spirit this time is that they are preaching the word of God boldly. Receiving the Holy Spirit is not a once-off thing. It's a river of life that flows in and out of your life. He flows into you and you overflow with your words and works that he is doing in you. It overflows like a spring that's bubbling up and out. The Holy Spirit is always with you, but he needs to replenish and refresh and empower us for each mission and each day and each task that he has for us. When a river stops flowing, you get a pool of water that get caught along the way and they start to stagnate. All the mozzies come in, the water's no longer fresh. There needs to be the flow of God's Spirit through our life. And there's another image that Jesus brings to this. Let's read together. On the last and greatest day of the festival. So this is back in the Gospel of John, not in Acts at the moment. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The scriptures testify and show that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a once-off event. Jesus brings some image to that, that there needs to be the flow and the refreshing, that we actually need what God has. The outcome of being filled with the Spirit is not always the same. At Pentecost, they were speaking in tongues, and this time they were preaching the word of God boldly. What do you need God's empowerment for? What is he refreshing? You turn to him and you call on him, and he'll continue to fill, replenish, and lead you in his ways. Do you need more of his Holy Spirit? Do you need an awakening of a relationship where you are continuously connected and calling out and praying for what he has in this day, in this week, in this month? Do you need to be doing that with others so that God can mobilize together a work and a vision? And in this case, we saw the mobilization of preaching and speaking the word of God boldly. Is that the more? No, it's not once. It's constant. Is that the more that you need to move into? What is your more? What is the more that the Lord has for you in this season? You know, is it more of knowing God in every part of your life? Is it more faith to trust and walk in his ways in all of your life? Or is your life a little bit siloed? You know, so I will walk in faith when I gather in community, and I will seek the Lord, or when I'm at home group or in a particular setting that feels spiritual. But actually in my workplace or in my other relationships or my sports teams, I'm not actually trusting my money, my finances, my relationships, the words I'm doing, the decisions I make. Is it siloed for you? I'm seeking him for this. I'm trusting him here, but not over here. Is there more in terms of knowing God in all of your life, every aspect of what you're doing, which is not just kind of passive, but actually seeking him and listening and obeying what he has in every part of your life? There's an interesting moment that I don't know if you've bumped into in the scriptures that Jesus quantifies faith. And it's something to reflect on, that, you know, if we want more faith, there is a journey of little faith, more faith, great faith. We can receive more faith for more areas of our life. Let's read. This is just reflecting on the fact that Jesus quantifies faith at different points. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. It's fascinating, eh? So obviously this was an area that they had not realized that they could trust the Lord with, that he actually had authority over, you know, the created realm. "Come," he said, then Peter got, this is another one, a different time. "Come," he said, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Again, Jesus has authority over the created realm, over signs and wonders and miracles. And in that moment, doubt got in the way there. Previously with the storm, it was fear. And there's other things creep in there. And Jesus says, "You have little faith." Again, there was the opportunity for more faith there so that doubt didn't kind of take over. Okay, last one. When, again, different location. This one's in Matthew 8. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." faith can grow. We can go through lots of different scriptures that can talk about that. We are called to a faith that grows. There is more available in terms of faith, in terms of being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, of trusting Jesus. There is the ability to trust Jesus in every aspect of our life because he has authority over the created realm. He has authority over the spiritual realm. He has authority over everything because he's the name above all names. Do you need more faith? Do you need to trust him in all aspects of your life? Is that the more that is before you? Is it your money, food, shelter, clothing, health, illness, sickness, relationships, your dreams, your work, your ministry? What is it? He has a plan. He has a strategy. He has a way through whatever is going on in our life. Are you seeking him for that? Are you asking him for his ways? Are you keeping in step with the Spirit in every aspect of your life? But there's more. Wait, there's more. What's that from? Why is that stuck in my head? But wait, there's more. I don't know what that's from. So yeah, sometimes you get little refrains stuck in your head, and that's not from the scriptures. That's from something else, isn't it? But wait, there's more. Okay, do you need more of his rest and peace? You know, are you actually kind of constantly dealing with a storm on your inside? Is there constant anxiety and restlessness, worry, fear? You may come home from work, or you may actually have space in your life, but there's not space because on the inside it is busy as, it is heavy as, it is weighing you down. And, you know, and sometimes the best way to describe it is there's a storm on your inside. You know, worry, anxiety, and fear are heavy, and they can take over. Do you need his rest, his peace? Let's read. When you come close to Jesus, when you turn to Jesus, you will always know his rest and his peace, no matter what circumstances. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Again, this is not an abstract concept. This is an experienced reality that when you come to him, his yoke is easy. The loads that we experience are released. We can tangibly experience the difference between his rest versus when we are toiling and striving and are in bondage to our own efforts. He wants to free us from that. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The Lord acknowledges that the world is hard and that there is trouble that we have to navigate, but there is a peace on the inside that is always available that can only come from Christ. Do you need it? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It is a peace that transcends understanding because it's a peace that does not match up with what's going on. It is totally available. Next week, we'll talk about this more. Circumstances that you can go through and you go, there's no way to know peace. There absolutely is in Christ. Is that your more? Oh, peace and rest transforms your life because then you're not at the mercy of what's happening in this world. You are actually in step with the Lord. What's your more? There is more. Do you need more gifts? Spiritual gifts. Okay, so if you think of a builder with a tool belt, you know, when they're doing the building, they've got different tools. I suppose I see spiritual gifts through that lens. How do you do the work that God has for us to do here on earth? Well, you want to use the tools that he's got for us to do that building. Do you need more of his spiritual gifts to do the work? Or are we actually just trying to do his work with our own tools and our own strength? But he's got tools for us. He's got a whole tool belt full of spiritual gifts. Do you need them? Let's read. Do you need to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit? Follow the ways of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I'm just quoting a little piece of scripture. There's a lot more on either side of it. You're welcome to go read it. But the point being there, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. It's good to desire the gifts of the Spirit so that we can build his kingdom, that we can do his work with the tools he's given to us. Next one. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. There's a whole discussion we could have around this, but the point today is, do you need more of his gifting, his tools to do the work? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestation, the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. I'm skipping here. Distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Oh, I'm skipping to get to the end. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So the Lord distributes his gift. We don't get all the same gifts. He distributes them as he determines so that we have what we need to build his kingdom, to share the good news, to actually bring people into relationship with the Lord. It's not something we can do in our own strength. Someone coming to the Lord in faith in him, being able to live a life of faith, it's a miracle. It only comes through the empowerment of God with us. It's a grace, it's a mercy. And we can only do this work in his Spirit, in his strength. Do you need the tools? Is that the more? Do you need the spiritual gifts to do the work? We're coming to a close, not because we've reached the end of our list of more, but we could talk all day about the more that is available. And this is just really, I suppose, scratching the surface and saying, well, what's the more? Where could we go with this if we start exploring and going deeper in what the Lord has? And it's probably worth acknowledging that sometimes you don't even know what more you need. And it's not saying, okay, I'm going to go get spiritual gifts now, or I'm going to get filled with the Holy Spirit again. But as you go develop an awareness that there is more, and it's not a stagnant journey, that it's a life of moving into more and doing more of his work and receiving more of his work, then you seek him and move with him where he leads you, and then you discover the more as you go. And then when you bump into these things along the way, then you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. If that makes sense, it's almost probably more about actually going where he leads, and you'll bump into these things along the way. But then when you bump into them, you won't reject that, because you know it's part of his kingdom work. Do you need more of his love? Is your heart hurting? Are you struggling to just receive his forgiveness? Are you tormented by just feeling like you're not good enough and that you've failed? Do you just need to actually encounter his love, his forgiveness, and enjoy the fact that he loves you, that he knows what you've done, he knows where you've been, but his blood is sufficient and he loves you? And again, that's not a concept. He wants to embrace you. You know, sometimes with our family, with our kids, we talk about the Lord giving you a hug on the inside. You know, you need his comfort. You need to know that you're accepted. You need to know that he sees the things you're struggling with and still gives you that hug. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. But do we know that? And there's sometimes in life when we need to know it again, because man, it's been a rough day, a rough week, a rough month, or a rough year. Lord, I need your love. I just need to be close to you. I just need to be with you right now. Let's make this a prayer even. This is in Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Is love what we need? There is more. There is so much more. The fact that there's more does not mean that where we've been is invalidated. The Lord knows times and seasons to bring us in to the next portion of his kingdom work in our individual life or in our community. It's exciting that there's more, and it's exciting what we've already received and what we already know. It's good to talk about it because then that encourages people who have not even tasted and seen that the Lord is good. It calls them and draws them into this place of blessing where they too can discover what can only be discovered through Christ Jesus. So what is your more? Is it believing that Jesus Christ is Lord? Is it receiving the Holy Spirit? Is it receiving more of the Holy Spirit and an awakening of an ongoing prayer lifestyle of seeking and receiving? Is it God's involvement in every part of your life rather than just the spiritual places? Faith for your daily needs, for all the worries and concerns and anxieties, is it replaced with a peace and a rest because you know that he's got it sorted and you're outworking the plans he has for you? Is it spiritual gifts to do his work? Or is it coming back to the foundation of love and being accepted and knowing that he is with you and he will never depart from you? What is your more? It will be different for each of us. But there could be more for us as a community, which is also exciting. What's the work that God's doing this year? What is the more? Are we willing to explore it? There are two things that will stop us exploring the land that God has opened up to us. There are two things that will stop us from receiving what God has and experiencing the more. The first is this: if we do not ask, if we do not seek him. And the second is if we do not obey. We need to go to him and seek him. He will respond, but there is always a step to take. And that step moves us into what he's opened up. There's doors that open, we need to walk through them. Obedience is actually just keeping in step with the Spirit. Obedience moves us into the more as he awakens a freedom that can only come in him. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask. Seek him in all things, in all these areas, knowing that it is there. It is available. And then obey. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. We must ask, and as he speaks and as he leads, we then obey. Sometimes you get to the point like the conversation with Ananias had with Jesus the other week, and the Lord said, go to Paul and pray for him. And he's like, I don't want to go to Paul. He's been persecuting people. It's okay to then dialogue with the Lord and say, I don't have the strength to do what you're asking me to do. Give me the courage to do it. But to just ignore and not, that's different, isn't it? So as he reveals what the step is and you're finding it hard and it's actually more than you've stepped before, seek him for the courage and the strength and you'll find he will give it to you. And together we will move into what he has. So we're going to pray. The worship team is going to come up. And here's an invitation. Do you want someone to pray with you today? There's a few people that will be down the front and can pray with you. I'll hang out here as well. I would love to pray with you about anything that we've talked about, to seek God with you for the more And you might kind of come and say, I don't even know what I want, but I want what he has. That's fantastic, let's pray. You might say, man, I just feel so convicted to actually pray for this, and then we can pray for that. There will be a few of us here if you want prayer. Come down during the worship songs. We'll still be here after the worship songs. Come down afterwards if you want to pray about any of this. And come and talk. Do you want to get baptized? Why would you not get baptized? If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, let's do some baptisms. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, come down the front. We'll pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't have to happen today. It can happen in your home groups. It can happen in other places. More, let's go there. Lord, I pray that you lead us by your Spirit with wisdom into the things you've prepared for us. I pray that we encourage and spur each other on. I pray for an excitement around what's around the next corner. And I pray that we have boldness and courage to go places that we haven't been before, because more is always a place we haven't been yet. Amen. Prayers available as we sing down the front and after the singing.